Well, let's open our Bibles up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Pastor Craig Hall is going to come and share with you about running the race and having endurance. And we alluded to it earlier that there's some of you that your hearts could maybe grow cold and from maybe a bad experience with the Lord or from someone who knows the Lord or something happened to you and it's taking you out of the race. And others of you that maybe you've committed a sin and you feel you can't get back in, and that there's no way and you're experiencing condemnation. And the enemy would love to just continue to do that to you, to beat you up and condemn you, and to make you think less of the Lord. And we know that our Father's heart for us is always to bring his people back to him. And that's where we want to be. Right there in the vine with Jesus Christ. And Craig is going to come and it's his heart. This is one of the things he specifically asked for. His heart was to go out to those men who have left the race. And they've stopped running. And they feel unqualified. They feel discouraged and condemned. And he's going to come and share with you just and encourage you on in the Lord. So welcome with me, if you would, Pastor Craig Hall, Calvary Chapel, Fortuna.
Well, good afternoon, guys. If you would, turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. You're already there. And you're still awake. I'm happy about that. Okay, I want to read verse 7. It says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I remember even as a young guy, late teens, early 20s, as a new Christian, I love that verse. But it's funny, as a young guy, I bet you look at that verse a little differently than us older guys look at that. You know, when I read that, and I didn't know much about the Lord at all. I'd come from a pagan family. I didn't even know that Jesus had died on the cross for my sins until I was 16 years of age. So I really didn't know the Bible, didn't know anything. And man, I came to the Lord, and then I read that verse, and you know, I fought the good fight. And I thought, man, I can get into that, right? Come on, we're guys. What did we do growing up? We would fight, right? I mean, it didn't take much for us to fight. So I'm thinking, the good fight, all right, I can get into that. You ever wonder why, as guys, we would fight? You know, you'd go to school, and somebody would pick a fight, or you'd pick a fight, and you'd have to each beat each other up, and then you became friends. I mean, it was one of the stupidest things that you... But we did it. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I thought, yeah, man, racing, sports, man, I'm into that. Fighting, racing, all right, this is really good. I have kept the faith. And I felt, and I know you guys the same way, kind of like Peter and the apostles. And you'll remember, here they are at the Last Supper. Jesus knows what's going to happen. And he says, you guys, you're going to deny me. But he's kind of telling them to kind of prepare them. He's not condemning them. He knows what they're going to do. And of course, you know how Peter said, I'm not going to deny you, Lord. I mean, I'll die with you. And can you relate to that? I mean, I think the same thing. Man, I'm going to pull out the sword. I'll take on 100 Roman soldiers, whatever it takes. You know, I'm going to take, you know, they're going to kill me. I'm going to take them out, how many I can get. As guys, I kind of think that that's the way the Lord actually programmed us. We like to be the hero, don't we? That's the way I think. Sometimes I go out and I'll go on a trail and do a little hike in the woods. And usually I do that alone. And I'll get out there in the woods and I start thinking, you know, I live in Humboldt County and we have bear and we have mountain lions. And you always hear those stories of the mountain lions getting you, right? So I'm out there and I'm thinking, all right, now if a mountain lion gets me right now, this is what I'm going to do. You know, you kind of got some little pocket knife or something, but you're going to stab it in the eye or something. Isn't that how we think? I came home one day and I asked my wife, I said, Tammy, I said, all right, if a mountain lion attacks you, I mean, what would you be thinking? What would I be thinking? I don't know. What part are you going to eat of me first? See, a woman, they don't think they're going to survive. We have this kind of a pride. Says, man, I'm going to, I'll keep the faith, man. I'll finish the race. I'll fight the good fight. Man, I'm right in there with you. And, you know, Peter wasn't the only one. You remember, Peter wasn't the only one saying, I'm not going to deny you. All of them said, I'm not going to deny you. Because that's the way they were thinking. And we like heroes. I think we kind of, again, as guys, we're wired to be heroes. We want to fix things. And we love, man, I love stories about heroes, whether they're real life guys like World War I and Alvin York, or World War II and Audie Murphy, or even the make-believe guys. Yes, Spider-Man is make-believe. Iron Man. I haven't figured Ant-Man. I mean, really. Who came up with Ant-Man? I haven't seen the movie. Maybe it's good, but I'm just thinking they ran out of ideas or something. But we like the hero kind of a thing. But then we walk with the Lord for a while, and we become like Peter and some of the other guys. We see our faults, and we fail, and we're not always the hero. And then you get a little bit older, and you look back, and you start thinking about your life, and you were going to be this, and you were going to be that, and it hasn't happened. And man, we're going to be the prayer warrior. We're going to share the gospel everywhere we can. We're going to live for Jesus. We're going to be the husband that's a great husband, the great father, the great friend, the great coach. We talk sports. Man, we're going to take a stand. We're going to do all this. And after a while, we get beat up because we fail. And guys, we all fail. I think that's why we relate so well to Peter, don't we? I mean, who doesn't like Peter? We feel like we're going to do it, but then he failed, and then we're broken. And one of the things I really wanted to focus on, and Ramel mentioned, is just the fact that what do we do with that hurt, that failure? And sometimes I think we get off the race, and we just kind of give up, because Satan wants us to give up. You understand that, right? All right, he's lost you, but he wants to get you out of the race. He wants to compromise you. He wants you somewhere along on the sidelines, not doing the work of the Lord. And he'll take those things that we do wrong, those failures, and man, you just put it up in front of you, and it hurts. And you know, I mean, and let's talk our heart today, all right? We are guys. We don't have to put on any act. We all deal with the same thing. And we have those hurts, and we look at ourselves, and we say, I'm not what I wanted to be. I'm not what I should be. And we think about quitting. But the Lord has called us to finish that race. And I want to be like Paul, that when I get to the end of my life, whenever that is, however soon or however long, I want to be able to say, you know, I fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I'm still working for Jesus. Some of you, if you are a little bit older, you might remember the story of Jim Ryan, a famous runner for the United States of America, ran the 1,500 meters or mile. And 1968 Olympics, him and another guy from Kenya by the name of Kip Keino ran a pretty amazing race. And just within a couple seconds of each other, Kip Keino won the gold medal. Jim Ryan won the silver medal. Well, 4 years forward, Jim Ryan has now made the world record at that distance. And here they are, they're racing again, Kip Keino and Jim Ryan. You know, and Jim Ryan's hoping this time he gets the gold medal. And they're just running a heat against each other. And early on in that heat, Jim Ryan gets tangled up with another runner and falls, him and the other runner end up on the ground. And what a scene. You know, how sad, and just like that, at that distance, and the way those guys run, there is no way, movies, they like you to get up and you run and you catch them. That doesn't happen in real life, all right? Not against great runners. But Jim Ryan, and you can see the video, you can check it out sometime. There he is on the ground, and you can tell just within seconds, he's got to make that decision, but he gets up, he starts hobbling, and he keeps going. And there's no way, he's running as fast as he can, and you see the race, and you got the pack that's in front, and then you've got Jim Ryan and the other guy just behind him who also fell. But you know what? Jim Ryan ran all the way to the end of that race. He finished the race. You even afterwards, you just see him kind of grimacing over it. You see Kip Keino come up to him and try to console him because he knows this is the guy who should have been running right there with me. But he finished the race. And one of the things we need to remember in Jesus, finishing the race, keeping the faith, is winning. Okay? This isn't like our, well, it's first place or second place is the first loser kind of a thing. If we finish the race, we win. And we need to remember that our job is to finish the race. And whatever it might be, maybe it's someone else, as in Jim Ryan's situation, that tripped us up. Maybe it's people around you have stumbled and fallen. And a lot of times you'll see people not walking with Jesus because somebody tripped them up. Maybe it was a pastor who sinned and fell. Maybe it was a friend, a family member. And because of whatever they did, you're not going to follow the Lord, or you're out of the race because you're still hurting over that. But maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was our own sin and weakness. Maybe we have given in to something. And let's admit it. We all are sinners. And we're not just talking past tense here, okay? We all still blow it at times. And if you're honest, and I want you to be honest in your heart today, you don't have to be outwardly, but be honest with your own heart. You're still a no good sinner. You still struggle with things. Oh yeah, we've got the blood covering the doorpost. Didn't that make you feel good? Aren't you glad Jesus isn't looking in the door? Because we would be sure if he looked in the door, oh, wait a second, the blood's on the door, but look, Craig's in here. Man, forget that. He's too bad. We still think thoughts at times that are perverted. We still get angry. We still want to sometimes take someone out. We still are that way at times. And we need to repent of it. We don't just live in it. We just don't let it go. But sometimes that trips us up and we think, look, I just can't be serving the Lord because look at how bad I am. I got to tell you, to be a servant of the Lord, to be a pastor amazes me because I know me. Okay? I'm glad I'm the only one who knows me as well as I do, because otherwise I wouldn't be anyone's pastor because they wouldn't have me. And yet Jesus has me. And you know what? Jesus has you doing whatever he has you doing. He has you and he knows you. That is grace. That is mercy. And that is amazing. That is unbelievable. That's what John Newton was thinking when he wrote Amazing Grace. How in the world could God forgive me? And I want you to know he does. And he still uses us. Again, it isn't license. It isn't, hey, man, I'm over here doing this, and it just doesn't matter, and I'm going to keep doing it because that's what they said at the men's conference. No, that's not what we're talking about. If you need to repent, repent. And you know that. But as you struggle with those things, you know, don't think, well, I did this, now I've repented, but God can never use me. Oh, you bet God can still use you. God wants to use you. Your race isn't done. If God was done using you, you wouldn't be here today. You'd be dead. God would be done with you. That we're still here tells us God isn't done with us. So I want to encourage you to be like Jim Ryan, to get up, get back in the race, give up whatever dreams, delusions of grandeur that we had, that we're going to be this or we're going to be that. Maybe God has allowed these things to happen just to break us of those things, to get our eyes on him. And to say, all right, Lord, I'm just going to do it your way right now. Keep the faith. You know, God hasn't called us to just start the race well. God hasn't called us to just pray a prayer. I praise God every time someone accepts the Lord. Isn't that great? We love it when people accept the Lord. But that, I never just say, well, that's great. You accept the Lord. That's the end of it. No, that's the beginning of it. You know, you can start a race, but the key is to finish the race. Another Olympic story, a guy from Tanzania, John Stephen Akwari. It was the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, running the marathon, got tripped up again. He fell, though. He actually dislocated his knee. But I guess they put the knee back into place. He got up and he hobbled in An hour after the first guys finished the marathon, it was actually dark out. And of course, they interviewed him and said, "What in the world were you doing? You were so far behind everyone else." And his response was classic. He says, "My country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start a race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish a race." Jesus Christ didn't save us to start a race. He saved us to finish a race, to keep going. And again, we have in the Bible a whole good group of witnesses, a whole good group of examples, which aren't really good examples. They've blown it too. But I guess they are good examples because they kept going. How about Peter? He denied the Lord. How about Thomas? He doubted. Anyone ever doubt before? Maybe you struggle with that. You say, "Man, I just doubt. I don't always have the faith I ought to have." Thomas didn't have much faith. He kind of got called on it though, didn't he? I kind of like how the Lord said, "All right, here, go ahead and touch the nail prints. Go ahead and, you know, touch my side." And Thomas goes, no, I don't need, I believe now." And Jesus goes, no, go ahead. You didn't believe it, go ahead. How about Samson? What an example of a guy who ruined a race, huh? Sexual sin. Women. Guys, we struggle sometimes in that area. Pornography. No, we as guys, that's just an area we struggle with. Women don't understand that at all. Men, we understand that. Okay. Maybe you've struggled in that area in some way. Maybe you've fallen. Again, turn from it. Repent of our sin. Ask the Lord to help you. Okay. The struggle isn't going to go away. All right. At least it hasn't for me. But yet, we can say, "All right, hey, I've blown it." At least Samson was smart enough at the end to call out in the name of the Lord to be used in a very tough way, but he at least was used in that way. How about John Mark, or Mark as we know, the gospel writer? He quit. He was on a mission trip and he quit. I can relate to Paul thinking, "Well, man, we don't want that guy going again." He quit. But I'm so thankful we have Barnabas that say, "Yeah, he did quit, but let's give him another try." You ever quit? Maybe you've been involved in ministry. Maybe you did things and you just checked out. You just failed. You quit. God's saying, "Get back in." Maybe not doing the same thing you were doing, but maybe it is. You know, I was actually called to be a pastor as a young guy. After I got saved, within a year, the Lord put on my heart to be a pastor. And I was part of a denomination, so I believed that I needed to go to Bible college to be a pastor. So I signed up for Bible college. And when the day came, I was accepted and everything. When the day came, first day of school, you know what I did? I stayed in bed. I just didn't go. To this day, I don't even understand why I didn't go. But I didn't go. And I thought, well, that's it, man. God's, you know, that's done with that. 10 years later, listening to a Chuck Smith teaching on tape, and I don't even remember what he was teaching, but the Lord said, "Craig, I've still called you. You better get out there and do what I called you to do." And I obeyed that calling. But, you know, I was so blessed and so excited that God would still use me after I failed. Maybe you've blown it. Maybe you failed. You quit. God can still use you. How about Moses? Moses did a few things wrong, huh, in his day? Here's a guy that kind of had an anger issue. Anyone relate to that? See, we're hitting some guy things here today. Women, okay? You know what I like about men's conferences? We can talk about this. It's hard to say you have a lust problem in front of women when they're in your congregation. Matter of fact, don't say that because they're always going to be thinking, "Oh, what's he thinking there, you know?" But we're guys. We understand. We deal with that. We deal with anger, don't we? That's just a guy thing, too. We get mad. You know, Moses, he misrepresented the Lord. He whacked that rock 2 times when he was just supposed to call out. It's hard for me to get down on Moses, isn't it? I mean, look at the children of Israel. I wouldn't have been whacking the rock. I'd have been whacking them. I'd have found the complainer and said, "Here, man, you want water? Forget that." Anyone relate to that? Okay. David went so far as to commit adultery and then covered up with murder. Boy, if there was anyone you think we should be disqualified, it's David. And yet God used him. And you know, God gave him mercy because he deserved the death penalty. And God didn't give him the death penalty. And then God still used him. It's amazing. God can use us. Get back in the race. Maybe this is your mentality. Maybe you've had those visions of greatness when you were younger, when you first came to the Lord, and now you've kind of replaced it with, what's the point? The point is, God still wants to use us. The point is, there's still a race to be won, and a race that is won by finishing it, by keeping the faith, by saying, you know what, I believed in Jesus Christ, whenever that was, I accept the Lord, but I still believe in Jesus. I still want to serve him. I still want to follow him. And then you might say, all right, that's all well and good, but how do we do it? How do we get that strength? And if we've quit before, I mean, how are we going to keep going? We want to quit again. Well, I want to stop for just a moment and show a video. And this is from another Olympic guy who failed. His name is Derek Redmond. He actually failed because of injury. But I want you to see what he does and then what happens in this little video. So, guys, if you're ready, let me show that.
Derek Redmond, the best form he's shown since he broke the British record. Peter Hernandez has got Redmond to aim at, and so too in lane number three is Steve Lewis. But Redmond's got off very fast indeed, and so too is Ismail of Qatar. Down the backstraight, he's the fractional leader. Bada of Nigeria has gone very quickly, and Redmond has broken down. He's on the track, kneeling down, and Derek Redmond...
Running down the backstraight, I heard a funny clap or a pop, and I honestly, for a split second, thought I'd been shot. And then obviously I realised I've pulled a hamstring.
When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence.
He just wants to finish. His dad's trying to run under the track to stop him. He's going to tell him, Derek, don't.
The old man went to put his arms around me, and I was just about to try and push him off because I thought it was someone else. I didn't see him. He sort of jumped from behind. And he said, look, you don't need to do this, you can stop now, you haven't got nothing to prove. And I said, all right, I'll get me back into lane five, I want to finish.
When I am on your shoulders, raise me up to more than I can be.
Now in the greatest arena in sport, he's getting the chair of the games.
Isn't that awesome? Do you think our Heavenly Father is saying, let us finish this together? What a father. But as a father, I can relate to that. You know, I have three boys, and there's been times when my boys, they've been broken. They've been going through tough things. And I got to tell you, as a dad, I immediately want to be there and say, all right, I'm going to help you through this. I've been there when my boys were so broken over things in their life that they were crying. And when young men cry, you know they're broken. And just to be there and be with them. And where does that heart come from? It heart that comes from our Father, who puts us in us as fathers. And man, when we have fallen, God isn't condemning us. He's running out on the track and saying, let me help you. You say, but Craig, you don't know what I did. You don't know how I've fallen. You don't know what I'm really like. God knows what you're really like. And he wants to come out on that track and say, I want to help you finish this race. And you see, when I was 20 years old or 25 years old, I had these visions of greatness, but a lot of it was really pride. I wanted to be seen as great. I wanted to be exalted. And God's saying, you know what? I can't use you like that. I want you to be injured. If you pull the hamstring muscle, that's all right. I want to be there carrying you along, because who gets the glory then? Our Father. And maybe you feel crippled today, and maybe you feel like, man, I can't go on, I can't do it. And God is saying, that's right where I want you to be. Here you're on the side of the track, and you think you failed, and God is saying, I needed you to get to the side of the track. And now that you're on the ground, I want to pick you up, and I want to bring you along. So I got to tell you, this is the way we finish the race. God has made it real simple. Number one, the Father goes with us. And number two, we're with one another. And I got to tell you, that's not always easy for us too. Some of us are very outgoing fellowship type of guys. And others of us are more of the loner type. Anyone more of the loner type? I'm a loner type. I told you, I go out and hikes. I might go out and hike 6-7 hours on rare occasion. I don't usually go that long, but I've done that with nobody, and I like it, just solitude. I tell my wife sometimes that I really want to quit the ministry and going into being a lighthouse keeper somewhere. Just as long as the lighthouse has Wi-Fi, that's all I need. But God has called me to be with people, and I got to, in all honesty, when I say those things, there's a little voice that says, no, Craig, you need others too. You know, I was blessed this past September, I got to spend a couple weeks in the nation of Kenya in Africa. Brought over one of the young guys from our church and dropped him off there. We were trying to get rid of him. He was so bad, we sent him to Africa. And but there was one of the days there in Kenya. And Kenya, the part of Kenya we're at is the area where Kip Keno came from. Where, you know, you hear all these Kenyans who are runners. They come from this part of Kenya. These guys who run marathons and, you know, do it every mile in under 5 minutes a mile or whatever crazy thing it is they do. Well, I thought, man, this would be cool to jog in Kenya. Now, I don't run like they run, but I still thought it would be cool to jog. So I can remember I was in this area called Kipkaran, and just dirt roads and jungle kind of area, fields. And I'd got, and I was jogging one morning, and the kids are going to school. Well, the kids in Kenya, they all love to run. So when you run and you try to pass a kid going to school, they join in with you, which is fun. The only problem is I'm running and this boy, he joins in with me and he starts running at a pace that I wasn't planning on running. I'm thinking, you know, I don't really want to run this fast because I was planning on going like a ways and I'm not going to go very far like that. But I thought, oh, you know, he's young and he's got his backpack and everything. He's not going to run this pace very long. So I thought, that's okay. And he pushed me along. And then he quit. And I thought, oh, good, because that's about the time I need him to quit. But I swear, I had not gone more than about 10 more paces and another kid. And I catch up to him, and he starts running like the last guy. I thought, you got to be kidding me. I can't keep this pace. So I went his pace for a while. He finally gave up, and he gave up. I went about another 10 paces, and two girls, young girls, started running. I thought, this is just too much. But you know, one thing I noted about that, I was actually able to run faster and farther than I thought because someone was running with me. People know that. If you train and you run with someone, they're going to get a lot more out of you than you think you can get out of you. That's part of what we're doing here as men. We encourage one another. And when we think we can't go on one more step, it's amazing how someone with you can do it. And maybe it's even for the wrong motivations. You're like, oh man, if God can use them, I'm going to keep going. Because boy, they shouldn't be using them, but they can use me. I can remember a couple months ago, flag football. And I don't know what incurred us to do this, but at the end of flag football, we said, hey, let's run the 400. Let's run one time around the track. And I thought, okay, we're all exhausted. And I thought, all right, let's have a race. You know, let's do it. And we got in and we start running, and there were three of us. Well, the first guy, he started out fast and really isn't in very good shape. And I knew, I'm like, this guy is never going to make it. He made it around the first turn and he quit. A lot of us can relate to that, right? You just kind of, you go out fast and then you quit. Well, the other guy, he was about 20-something years younger than I am. And he ran and we raced and he beat me by a step or two. But when we were all done, we sat down and he threw up. And I was like, what? He goes, I could not let a guy your age beat me. Now, there is some motivation, right? Boy, I thought, you know what? He was so committed. He was to the point that he was going to race until he threw up to do it. And you know what? When we run with one another, sometimes there's just something that brings us along that keeps us going. And that's okay. Listen, stay in fellowship. We need one another. It helps us to keep in the race. And even if you don't have anyone else, you have God. And I just want to end with that, where he says there, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. I don't care what has happened in the past. You turn to Jesus Christ today, and you just say, I want to get back in the race, or I want to keep going in the race. I mean, maybe you guys are still in the race, but you're just tired. Listen, let the Lord keep you going, finishing the race. We want to end our life being those who have kept the faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love for us, and we do want to be heroes in the sense that you have put in us, you have wired us to be those to be leaders, to be those to be heroes, to be those to help others. I just believe, Lord, that's from you. But Father, when we try to do it in our pride and in our own strength, we fail miserably. And Lord, we thank you for humbling us. We thank you for showing us who we are and what we're really like so that we could trust in you for the strength to run the race you want us to run, to do the things you want us to do. And then may you get all the glory from it. And Father, help us to run alongside one another, encouraging one another, keeping one another in that race. Father, fill us with your Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.